Blog Talk Radio.
Let me see. where is our echo coming from?
I think it was me, Brother Miles. I had you on the phone and on the computer because I couldn't get you on the computer, so I got it on the phone. And then I tried again, and I got it on the phone, on the computer.
Okay, yeah, for some reason that the main computer went to sleep. And then I don't know how you guys got on, but yeah.
We were determined.
Huh?
Yeah.
You determined, yeah, I see. Amen. I see.
Shalom, Sister Lorraine.
Shalom, everyone.
Peace and blessing. Okay. All right. So we're going to go ahead and start off. I'm still trying to get this sleep out of my eyes. Go ahead to my glass, though. Yeah, I'm gonna have to run upstairs and get my glasses. I'm gonna play a song and we'll let me get my glasses. I'll come back and we'll start. I'm wondering why everything is blurry. It's not sleep. It's just I need my glasses. Okay, so let me play a song. Where Blog Talk at? To the studio. Man, I was sleeping good too.
Fighting with that pillow, huh?
Yeah, and it was winning. I was glad. Song, you know, I'll be right back.
Stand together.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Say, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain,
yeah.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's say it together, there is power.
There is power.
Break every chain, break every. Now somebody lift your hands in the air right here.
There's an arm.
All right. Amen, 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 amen. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our master and our savior, our Elohim and our redeemer, the love of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Tuesday to everyone. We pray everybody's having a blessed day in Yah, and that you're ready to eat from the word of the Most High. I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. All right, we are going to go ahead and start in this. I woke up a little bit late, and we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, as we do our statement of faith and we pray in. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I'm chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, 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 Yah. We just glorify you, Father, and we thank you. We lift you up on today. We magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We magnify your name. And we extol you, O Yah. We extol you. And we give you glory and honor and praise. And all worship, because all worship is due, O Yah Elohim. All worship is due to you, Father. And we just want to thank you on today for allowing us to come before you, Father, and to study in your word. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, and our prayer for today, or our scripture for today, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, we are starting lesson number 11 today. And under lesson 11, or no, I'm not sorry, lesson number 13 in the newcomer series. And this is being circumcised in heart and in flesh. Being circumcised in heart and in flesh. And we want to go ahead and jump into this. As we are running behind already. So the question has often come up, should a male of the Gentiles or Hebrews be circumcised in order to receive salvation? Many read the controversy with the Pharisees who had come to Christ or Mashiach in Acts chapter 15 and come away with one of two understandings. Either circumcision of flesh is not required at all for Gentiles, only the circumcision of the heart, or they adhere to the thoughts of the Pharisees that Gentiles must comply with the law of Moses and be circumcised for salvation. Many do not necessarily look into exactly what the law of Moses requires, or was circumcision first given to Moses in the Torah. Let us look into this question as new saints in the kingdom of Yah. So this is one of those questions where being circumcised in heart and in flesh where the Gentiles have to receive the circumcision in the flesh for salvation to enter in, or is it just a requirement of the circumcision of the heart? Okay. So when let's look at when was circumcision given to Abraham? A circumcision was first given to Abraham. Let us go to Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. And actually, I want to read our reference scripture for this particular lesson. It's actually Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. The circumcision of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. And so this scripture actually really speaks not being stubborn in the ways that we sense, not moving in the direction of the Most High, trying to stick to the traditions of men, trying to stick to, you know, our understanding. If the Most High sends correction, then we have to circumcise those things out of our heart that we are doing that are that we're being corrected on, okay? And so this is always dealing with disobedience to the Most High. So now let's go to Genesis chapter 17. And we're going to get verses 1 through 27. 1 through 27. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, Yah appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Elohim Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, this is one of those areas where the Most High says to be perfect, and people want to say, you know, they can't be perfect. But he told Abraham to be perfect, okay? And we're told to be perfect. But we got to understand what is the perfection that the Most High is calling people to, okay? And it's really calling people to be perfect in his commands, in his statutes, his ordinances, in that. Okay? And be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. So this is the first covenant we're seeing. No, it's not the first covenant in the scriptures, because there is another covenant that was mentioned before this. But this is one that he's making with Abraham, and for him to be a father of many nations. And thou shalt be the father of a multitude of nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For the father of a multitude of nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be an Elohim unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land of thy sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for the everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. So this is the first covenant with Abraham, and the Most High saying, I'm going to make of you a multitude of nations, and I'm going to give you all the land of Canaan, okay? And this is what this covenant has to do with, and then we're going to see how he seals this covenant. And Elohim said unto Abraham, and as for thee, thou shalt keep my covenant, thou and thy seed after thee with throughout their generations, my covenant. Underline that. Which you shall keep between me and you, thy seed after thee, every man among you shall be circumcised. So this is the covenant, this is the contract. That's the sign of the contract, is circumcision in the flesh. And all you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be a token, a covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Now, you have to wonder, why did the Most High take 8 days? It's, you know, it's not as evident today as it was in the past. But a male's blood, a male child's blood, baby, infant, does not start to clot until the eighth day. Okay, now they have shots that they give the baby to cause their blood to clot, and they can circumcise them, you know, right after birth. But without that shot, the blood doesn't start to create platelets and things like that. And so the baby would actually bleed. So that's a scientific reason for the eighth day circumcision required in the scripture. Okay. So, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every male throughout your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money. And we did talk about this bought with money of a foreigner that is not of thy seed. This is the only way under the Abrahamic covenant that a foreigner, a stranger, could enter into this covenant. They had to be bought by Abraham. Okay? They couldn't just come and say, you know, I want to be a member of the house of Abram or the house of Abraham. They had to be servants. And if they were servants, if they were bought and they were servants, then they had to be also circumcised. So this would be the stranger that was among them. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised. Okay? And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So if you are of the seed of Abraham, there is no question whatsoever if you must be circumcised or not. Okay, because for Abraham's seed, it's saying must need. Okay? Must need be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting, a forever covenant. And the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that soul shall be cut off from his people, shall die. He has broken my covenant. Go to Genesis chapter 17, verse 21. Drop down to verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time, in the next year. Now, that stuff that I just skipped, I actually want to go back and cover that. So hold on a second. I got this. This is my lesson, and let me go back and pull up the actual scriptures for this theme. And we went from verse 14. We'll go back to verse 15. And Elohim said unto Abram, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yeah, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. King of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? So they are both well stricken in age. And the Most High did it this way because he wanted them both to know that this is his doing. Okay? She is 90 years old. She's no longer in the way of life. And he is 100 years old. To Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. So Abraham's desire is that his, you know, that the promise be to Ishmael. And Elohim said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, and this is where a lot of people miss in the scriptures, a lot of Muslims miss this. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him. I heard what you said, Abraham. I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceeding exceedingly, 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a great nation. Okay, so he's going to be a great nation, and the Most High is going to bless him, but the covenant is not through Ishmael. Okay, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, the promised seed, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and Elohim went up from Abraham. Okay, verse 23. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as Elohim had said unto him. Now, all the males, you know, there's some sore people that day. And Abraham is all the males that are born in his house or that were bought with money. That's the only way that a stranger could enter into this covenant at that time. Okay. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 30 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And in the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. So this is the first covenant. This is where circumcision first started and was required by the Most High of Abraham and everybody born into his house. Everybody that he bought for money, he owned. If they were a male, they had to be circumcised. Now, here's what we may miss in that, because Abraham's seed is promised. Ishmael is also Abraham's seed. But the covenant, as far as the covenant to the land, is to come through Isaac. Let's move on. So we see the first covenant with Abraham is for the land, okay? Underline that as well. Up top is for the land. Everybody who is circumcised in their flesh that is of the seed of Abraham, this is the covenant. He said it would be an everlasting covenant and that it is for the land. And so the Most High said that he was going to make them a multitude of nations. Go back up here a minute. Verse 8. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land of thy sojourning. Now, this is saying everywhere where you live or visit, I'm going to give to you. In other words, everywhere you walk, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you that land. All the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. Now, Canaan at the time, was from the River Nile, eastward until the Euphrates River. Right now, today in modern Israel, we see this little sliver of land that they're calling Israel. But the promise takes up quite a few nations that is supposed to be Israel. And that covenant is for that land between the Nile River and the Euphrates River. Okay, let's continue. By whom was circumcision initiated? So was this a law of Moses or was this the Most High? Get verses 1 and 2 again. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, Yah appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty Elohim, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. So this is a covenant initiated by the Most High. Now, because this is important, even though the Mosaic covenant we're going to sow, it's also initiated by the Most High. Okay, but there's a change in the Mosaic covenant from the Abrahamic covenant. Remember, everybody that is born into Abram's house or bought with money was under this covenant. They had to be circumcised, and they were under this covenant. I am thinking Isaac and Isaac shall the covenant go about. So Ishmael, the seed of Ishmael, even though Ishmael is Abraham's son, the Most High said the promise was to going to go through the seed of Isaac. So Ishmael will become, 12 princes, and they will be blessed of the Most High. And there was a scripture I saw somewhere, I have to remember where I saw that. He said that he would give Ishmael, he would be with Ishmael, and that he would give him his word. So you have to wonder you have to wonder about the Quran. Okay, just food for thought. You have to wonder about the Quran. Okay, so the Most High initiates this covenant. Who had to be circumcised, verse 10 through 13. And this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every male among you shall be circumcised. 10. And it shall be a token of a covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old. So Messiah, in order to be the king of Israel, had to also be circumcised on the eighth day. And you'll see the fulfillment of that covenant in the New Testament. On the eighth day, his mother and father bring him to Jerusalem to be circumcised, as the law requires. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token, a covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every male, throughout your generations. He that is born in the house, or bought with money, or any foreigner that is not thy seed. He that is born in thy house, he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. So anybody born in Abraham's house, whether they are a stranger or they are of his flesh, have to be circumcised. If his servants have children, they are of his house, they had to be circumcised if they were males. If they were born in his, in his bloodline, they had to be circumcised. Now, what was the penalty for not being circumcised? Verse 14. And he and the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Don't have any entitlement to the land, and back in those days, they would kill them so their seed don't propagate. Okay, their seed doesn't grow in the land if they are uncircumcised. So we can see the law of circumcision given to Abraham was for all the males of his household born into or bought with money, servants. It did not include anyone else. So somebody couldn't come up to Abraham and say, hey, dude, you got a nice family. It's big. I see you're blessed. I want to join with your people. The requirements are strict. Had to be born into this house or bought with money. So they could sell themselves to Abraham and get into the covenant, but they couldn't just come up and join. Okay, they couldn't just desire to be part of that covenant. So understand that. Look at how the law of Moses, the law of circumcising given to Moses, different from the one given to Abraham. But there was a change under Moses. But the law of circumcision wasn't initiated by Moses. The Most High didn't initiate it under Moses. It was already in the seed of Abraham. Moses is going to make a modification. Let me say it this way. The Most High through Moses, because when we say the law of Moses, as is written in the scripture, Moses never gave a law that the Most High did didn't tell him to give. The Most High told Moses to give the law of divorce because of the hardness of the people's heart. But it wasn't Moses himself that said, you know, we need to have divorce. We need to allow the males to divorce the female, or the female to divorce the male. That was the doing of the Most High. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman conceive seed and bear a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. As in the days of the impurity of her sickness shall she be unclean. Now, because there's blood here, the Most High says she is unclean. This uncleanliness is actually a sin. Okay, you might say, well, how did she sin? Actually, through the sex act, okay, when a man and a female come together and there is semen, the Most High says that they are both unclean. Okay, so now she has had shed blood as well, and so it's considered to be sin. But this is the same. This is the same that the Most High uses to say all have sinned because of that sex act, okay? And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. That's the law of Abraham, in effect. So Moses is reiterating the law of Abraham, but he's also instituting the cleanliness law. Continue in the blood of her purification, of her purifying, 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing. So you've got to understand, ladies, when you're on your cycle, if you're still having one, then you can't go into the sanctuary, and you can't touch anything sacred while you are on your cycle. Okay. And as she continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days, she shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. So for the male, it was 33 days and 1 week. 40 days, and in for the female, it was 2 weeks and 66 days. Going to be unclean. So she can't go into the sanctuary or touch any hallowed thing that whole time. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb a year old for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. She's bringing the sin offering because of her uncleanliness. And the Most High said that because of her uncleanliness, it is sin. That uncleanliness came from the sex act. Okay? And unto the door of the tent of the meeting, unto the priest. And he shall offer it before Yah and make an atonement for her. And she shall be cleansed from the fountain of her blood. This is the law for her that bear it, whether a male or a female. And if her means suffice for the lamb, so she don't have enough for a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. So this is Moses adds to this law. The law of Abraham, because before this time, the women wouldn't be considered unclean, whether they bore a male or a female. Okay, but when Moses comes and he initiates this law, then now the woman is considered to be unclean, and she couldn't enter into the sanctuary, nor could she handle anything that is holy. They'll touch no hallowed thing. And that's where males have to understand, if female is unclean because of that, then he can't touch any hallowed thing or go into the sanctuary as long as he's unclean. And that don't mean just taking a shower, because the cleanliness laws come not only with a penalty of being unclean, saying that you are unclean, but there's a time frame as well. Okay, so we got to understand that. Did the stranger that lived amongst Israel keep the Passover? The strangers that lived amongst Israel, because there were strangers that lived amongst Israel in the local lands where they established that. If they didn't become part of Israel, they were not allowed to keep the Passover. So let's look at, was the stranger or the sojourner or hired servant able to partake in the Passover? Go to Exodus chapter 12. The book of Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 43, and we're going to go down through 49. And Yah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance, this is the law of the Passover. So this law was never canceled out. It was never overwritten. That's why today, when you are practicing and observing Passover, and if someone is a Hebrew, they must still be circumcised to keep the Passover. And if they are a Gentile, a stranger, if they have joined Israel and are circumcised, they can keep the Passover. Other than that, you can't just invite somebody to keep the Passover because of this particular law we're about to read. Exodus 12:43. And Yah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance, the law of the Passover. There shall no foreigner eat thereof. Now this foreigner is talking about Gentiles who are not of the seed of Abraham. It's also talking about Hamites who are not of the seed of Abraham. Okay. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. So now it's continued that the servants that were bought for money, they could be circumcised and take part in the Passover. A sojourner, a visitor, or a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. So still the requirement right here is for the servant and the visitor and a hired hand. A hired hand is somebody, you know, you hired them to do work. And he says they shall not eat of the Passover. And all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. So let's see what the stranger, the sojourner, because the hired hand still can't partake of this. So let's see what the sojourner, how they can become part and take part with this up under the law as it was given to Moses. Let's go to verse 48, Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be circumcised. So if you have somebody that is a Gentile and you know them and you want to invite them to the Passover and they're male, you know, you have to ask the question, the Passover is not just a feast, but it's also recognizing of, I am a member of this Abrahamic covenant. I'm entitled to the land. Whether you are a stranger or whether you're Israel, if you join Israel, then you're entitled to the land. Okay, to have a part in the land. Now, if the land is divided up amongst the 12 sons, then how does the stranger get their promise? I believe that in Ezekiel, it might be 27, but the strangers get to pick what tribe they want to take their land in. Okay, and I'll have to find that verse and get it. Matter of fact, let me... let me look at my Bible real quick. That's one of these verses that I seem to always forget. I believe it's Ezekiel 27. Hold on a second. 7. It might even be 20. Is it 44 real quick? We'll come back to this question. Ezekiel 44. Because this is what Israel has to realize, and this is why part of the reason Messiah and doing this caused Israel to lose the priesthood. Ezekiel 44, starting in verse 1. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and was shut. Then said Yah unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it. Because Yah, the Elohim of Israel, hath entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut. So the east gate was supposed to be shut on the new sanctuary, in the future. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in to eat the bread before Yah. He shall enter in by the way of the porch of this gate, and shall go out by the way of the same. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of Yah filled the house of Yah, and I fell upon my face. And Yah said unto me, Son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances, the laws of the house of Yah. See, there are laws and rules and protocols as to what you do in the house of the Most High, and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, Yah Elohim, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice. Let it be enough for you of all your abominations, in that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers. Strangers are not supposed to enter into the house of the Most High. Uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread and the fat of the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. The abomination was that they brought the stranger into the sanctuary of the Most High. The sanctuary is really supposed to be only for the house of Israel and those sojourners that joined in the house of Israel and that were circumcised not only in their heart, but also in their flesh. And you have not kept the charge of my holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. So Israel, the priesthood, wasn't doing their job, and they allowed these strangers to come into the sanctuary and to do their job. And Most High said it polluted his sanctuary. Thus said Yah, Elohim, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone away far from me when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. So you got to understand, you don't really want to claim that you are a Levite after the house of Levite and you're serving as a priest, because the tribe of Levite actually gets fired, okay, from the priesthood. Not from the priesthood. They are going to Hey, Brother Joe, I am in a teaching. I'll call you back later. I mean, not Brother Joe, Brother Gary. All right.
Love you.
All right, love you too. Thus saith Yah, no stranger uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel, and the Levites that are gone away from me, far from me, when Israel went astray. Now the Levites also, his priesthood, went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols. They shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary. Now watch what the job will be. Having charge at the gate of the house and ministering in the house, they shall slay the burnt offerings and the sacrifices for the people. This is the new temple now, because a lot of people don't realize that animal sacrifice is going to be reinstituted, and they shall for them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols. So because the tribe of Levite didn't stay dedicated to the Most High, and when Israel went, when the house of Israel went astray and started worshiping and serving these different idols, the priesthood also did it. And the Most High says, you're still going to be ministers, but you ain't coming to minister on me. You're going to minister to the people. You're going to keep the door. And you're going to do the burnt offerings, but you're not going to minister directly to me. Because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith Yah Elohim, and they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near unto me. Hear this, Israel, and they shall not come near unto me to do the office of the priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things. So the Most High is pissed at the tribe of Levi. And if the brothers want to say, well, you know, I'm part of the Levitical priesthood, then understand they are not allowed to be priests unto the Most High in his new temple. They are not allowed to come near any of his holy things. So Levite, like the stranger, in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abomination which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. So you can't come and minister directly to me. You can't touch my holy thing. But you're going to be servants in the house of the Most High and take charge of taking care. It's like in modern day church. If you understand the way most churches are designed or supposed to be designed, you have the pastoral staff, which kind of mimic the house of Aaron in the priesthood, and they take care of the holy things, and then the deacons and that staff, they take charge of the sanctuary, making sure that it's clean, you know, making sure that they pick up the tithes and all those things. The one thing that under the new priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, they can take part in the holy things. But if we try to come back up under the law and up under the Levitical law, then the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, cannot touch the holy things of the Most High. Okay? But the priest, the Levite, the son of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray. So there was one family, the house of Zadok. They kept and did not stray from keeping the ordinances that the Most High gave to the priesthood. They shall come near to me to minister unto me. They shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith Yah Elohim. They shall enter into my sanctuary. They shall come near to my table to minister unto me. They shall keep my charge. So there's only one family and descendants of that family that are going to be allowed to enter into the sanctuary and touch the holy thing. And these are also those that are even under the Melchizedek priesthood. And it shall come to pass that when they enter into the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. Can't wear anything wool. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. You know how you see a lot of pastors in the pulpit and they be sweating and sweat dripping everywhere? The Most High doesn't like that. Okay. Now, this is not Brother Miles saying this. This is he saying, hey, the priesthood can't do anything that causes them to sweat. That actually smells nasty to the Most High. And when they go forth into the outer court, the utter court, even into the utter court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they minister and lay them into the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. So the priesthood that is allowed to minister to the Most High, to take charge in the sanctuary and to, you know, touch the holy things, they can't sweat. And their garments can't go outside. They can't be touched by the common people. So when the church is instituting these things and, you know, people in their priestly robes and doing those things, if he's up there preaching, then people aren't supposed to, you know, after the pastor has put on the ruach, people aren't supposed to come close. And I didn't understand why the Most High was making me do that when I was my pastor's armor bearer. But if the Spirit of the Most High was on the pastor still after he finished preaching, I wouldn't let him greet people. And at first, you know, he would like kind of looked at me strange. I said, you know, you can't do that. But I didn't know why until I read these verses. But the Most High put that within me. That he can do it, and you know, he adhered to what I would say to him. You know, the pastor, you know, I'm going to go ahead and escort him back to the office and wouldn't allow anybody to touch him. Okay, because of this. So they'll take off their outer garments. Now, when he comes out of the office, because a lot of times me and the pastor will go up into the office, and he and I have church, just me and him. Because the Spirit of the Most High would still be moving. And we would, it'd be me and him having church. And then when the Most High was through with us, and I would change him, take him out of his robes and stuff, and help him to get back into his street clothes and everything, then we would go out and he'd greet the people. Okay. Verse 20. Neither shall they shave their heads, their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their head. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. That's now, think about that, because even when we do a communion service, that's why I, you know, the Most High you lead me in these things, and a lot of times I don't know totally why, but I just have to be faithful in it. That's why I told you we don't use wine in the communion anymore. And he put that on my heart that we should not do that because of what wine represents, and wine is leavened. But right here he's saying that the priest can't drink wine when they are in the inner court. Okay. Neither shall they take for their wives widows, nor her that is put away. So a priest is not supposed to take a widow nor one that has been divorced, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel or a widow that had a priest before, and they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane and cause them to discern between unclean and clean. So being unclean and clean is important. And it's important that we observe it even today. Because the Most High says, when we come before him unclean, we profane him. when we're not doing and keeping the ordinances. These are the laws, and every church should have these ordinances that they keep. Okay? And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment. Underline that. Because as I've been teaching in the other series, the priesthood has to judge the same way that the Most High judges. They have to keep the law of the and the ordinance of the temple, and they have to judge the way that he judges. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. They shall come at no dead person to defile themselves. So I want everybody to also think about this. When you see a dead body in a church, and the church is supposed to be the sanctuary, that really makes that sanctuary unclean. Okay? But now, and the priesthood, they're not supposed to go around any dead people. But for their father or their mother or for their son or their daughter, for brother or for sister that has no husband, they may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days. So for his family, his direct family, his father or his mother, his son or his daughter, his brother, his sister that has no husband, they may be defiled. So, you know, automatically that has to also be for their wife, okay, or their children. So this is, this is son or daughter, but he doesn't mention the wife in there, but it's for his wife. Then he would be, because she's considered to be one, you know, at one with him, then he is to cleanse himself, and they shall reckon unto him 7 days. To be unclean 7 days. Okay, now, I've seen where brews have tried to enforce this. And if it's for a non-family member and you go around a dead body, even if it's for a family member, let me stop right there. If you are the priest, you can go around a family member that's dead, but you're unclean 7 days. If it's a stranger, they're not of your, and a stranger means not of your family in this case, nobody that the Most High has not approved that can go around a dead body. Your father, mother, sister, brother, wife, then you can go, if they're not of them, then you're not to go around them. Okay. So how can a priest perform a funeral? Let's keep going. And in the day that he goes into the sanctuary, unto the inner court, to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer for his sin offering, saith Yah Elohim. So to go around a dead body, if it's for family, you're unclean 7 days. Now, in today's requirements, he would have to confess that sin. He's allowed go about it, he still has to be unclean 7 days, but he's got to confess. And he's not confessed because he knows that it's a sin, but he's allowed to do this. But if it's for somebody that's not a family member and he does this, there is no blood for that. Because it's not allowed, even for the priest. He can't go back into the inner sanctuary because he's in sin. And he shall be unto them, and it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the meat offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all things, of all, of every sort of your oblation shall be the priest. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, and that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. The priest shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself or torn, whether it be fowl or beast. Okay, now I still am trying to look for this verse about, let me see if I can find it another place, this verse about the strangers taking their inheritance among the children of Israel. Those that have joined to Israel, they have been circumcised, and they can take in that. So let me try one more place. If not, I'll find it and bring it back forth. And I don't know why I always have a problem finding this verse. Let's see. Okay, I'll look at the end of the hour. Where I always think this is. Yeah, I'll look at the end of the hour and find it. Let me move on in this lesson. And somebody remind me if I don't remember to look up where the strangers, those that tie themselves to Israel, that way they get an inheritance in the land as well, and they can take their inheritance among the tribe. Whatever they get to choose their own tribe that they want to be a member of. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what did the stranger or the sojourner have to do to take part in the Passover? Exodus chapter 12. Verse 48. Well, let's start in verse 43. We read this before, but to refresh us. Starting in verse 43, and Yah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance or the law of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money. When thou hast circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. A foreigner or a hired servant shall not eat thereof. And in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. And all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. In other words, you can't put any part of the Passover meal in some Tupperware and carry it to somebody else's house or put it in any kind of bowl or anything and, you know, well, I'm going to take it over here and take it out, that kind of stuff. But when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be circumcised and then let them come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. You know, so, you know, when I enforce this, you know, when you enforce this with the world, then a lot of times the world will become, they will get offended. Because, you know, the modern day church thinks that any celebration of the Most High, they can just keep it. You know, I had one of my brothers who has a congregation, and he wanted them to start keeping the Passover. And I told him, I said, hey, you need to go read this because you need to adhere to this. And for a lot of Christian ministers or those that claim to be Israel, but they still got that Christian mentality, and they don't understand the law, and so they don't understand that, hey, there's ordinances or laws that, you know, govern even the operations in the church and in the operations in keeping the feast day. So the Most High just told us that a stranger cannot do it unless they are circumcised. Okay. One law shall there be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. The same law. There's not a, you know, because you're a stranger, because you're a Gentile, doesn't exclude you from this, even in the New Testament. Got to be circumcised. So this circumcision is not required for salvation. This is where Israel gets mixed up a lot of times. And this is where some, when we read this, this is where some of the pastors out there, the teachers, that are trying to require that Gentiles be circumcised before they will baptize them. It's false. The only time that a Gentile needs to be circumcised is if they want to come close to the Most High. This law does not go away. If they want to keep his Passover, his other feast days that require that you are circumcised. Okay? There should be one law for he that is homeborn and he that is born and he that sojourns among you. The same requirement that's on Israel for the stranger that wants to keep the Passover, even in these modern times, they have to fit this requirement. Okay? Numbers chapter 9 and verse 14. The book of Numbers chapter 9, verse 14. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto Yah according to the statutes of the Passover and according to the ordinances, the laws thereof, so shall he do. You shall have one statute, both for the sojourner and for him that is born in the land. Since the Most High said, I'm going to write my laws in your inward part. You won't find anything in the new covenant that cancels this out. The priests in Acts chapter 15, the priests that were trying to require that the Gentiles be circumcised to be saved, apparently they were assuming that they had to come to the Passover, they had to attend the Passover, or any of the feast days. Okay, but that won't happen, and the Gentiles aren't required to keep those, in the New Covenant. But you would know that once they learn the laws, that they would start to come and keep it. But if they do start to come and keep the Passover and the feast days of the Most High, then they would have to know that they must be circumcised. The only one that they can come to that is not required for them to be circumcised, Tabernacles. All the other holy days, they need to observe and to keep them, they must be circumcised. That's the law, but especially the Passover. Could the sojourner that has been circumcised make the same offering? Because, you know, we always say Israel could only make offerings. Well, let's see what the law says concerning that. Could the sojourner that had been circumcised in their flesh make the same offering as one that has been homeborn? Go to Numbers chapter 15. The book of Numbers chapter 15, and we're going to get verses 1 through 16. Numbers chapter 15, verses 1 through 16. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you are come into the land of your habitation, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto Yah, a burnt offering or a sacrifice, to accomplish a vow, as a freewill offering, or in your set feast, to make a sweet savor unto Yah of the herd, or of the flock, then shall he that offers his oblation offer unto Yah a meal offering of one-tenth of a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour mingled with four parts of hin of oil, and wine for the drink offering, and the fourth part of a hin shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering for the sacrifice for each lamb. or for a ram, thou shalt prepare for a meal offering 2/10 parts of an ephah of fine flour mingled with the 1/3 part of a hin of oil. And for the drink offering, thou shalt offer the 1/3 part of a hin of wine of a sweet savor unto Yah. Now, we can't make these sacrifices because we are the temple right now. But when the Most High reestablishes the temple, these also will be reestablished. And when thou preparest a bullock for a burnt offering, or for a sacrifice to accomplish a vow, or for a peace offering unto Yah, then shall he offer with the bullock a meal offering of 3/10 parts of an ephah of fine flour, mingled with a half hin of oil. And thou shalt offer for a drink offering 1/2 hin of wine for an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yah. So these are those sacrifices that the Most High said, these smell sweet to me in my nostrils. These are not for sin. And the only reason we can't do these today is because we have no altar that's authorized for these sacrifices to be made on. We are the sacrifice, and we're to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Then shall it be done for each bullock and for each ram and for each of the lambs and for the kids, according to the number that they shall prepare, so shall you do every one according to their number. All that are homeborn shall do these things after this manner, in offering an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yah. So he said, this, all the homeborn can make a sacrifice to him, a sweet savor, that, but not for sin. None of these were for sin. Okay? And if a stranger sojourn with thee, verse 14, or whosoever may be among you throughout your generation, and will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yah, as you do, so shall he do. For the assembly, there shall be one statute for you and for the stranger that sojourns among you, a statute forever throughout your generation. As you are, so shall the sojourner be before Yah, able to make these same sacrifices. One law and one ordinance shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourns with you. So the stranger that sojourns, if they wanted to keep the Passover, they wanted to come close, they had to be circumcised. And if they wanted to make sacrifices to the Most High, they also had to be circumcised. The stranger that was not there. So if a stranger wanted to become part of Israel, they had to be circumcised and take part in the feast, to take part of the feast days and to offer sacrifices just as a homeborn did. This is a change from the Abrahamic covenant that only required circumcision for a homeborn and purchased servants. So now the sojourner, if they want to come close, and when they joined the house of Israel, then they had to agree to keep the laws, the ordinances, the judgments. And they, the males of their house had to also be circumcised. And then they could come close and keep the feast and to do sacrifice and keep the Passover. This is an addition under the law of Moses, as it was given to Moses. Under the Abrahamic covenant, the only way you could do this is that you were bought with money. So how should Israel look at the stranger that sojourns among us? Because this should get rid of a lot of those, should correct a lot of things, a lot of perception that Hebrews have toward Gentiles, but also a lot of perceptions that Gentiles have toward Israel and what they are allowed and not allowed to do. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, starting in verse 33. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not do him wrong. See, they do us wrong, but we're not allowed to do them wrong. The stranger that sojourns with you shall be unto you as homeborn among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. I am Yah, your Elohim. This is a direct commandment from Yah. If the stranger wants to sojourn among us, they want to become part of us, they keep the ordinances, they circumcise themselves, then they could come close, and we were to love them as ourselves. Wasn't supposed to be no second, you know, second-hand citizen or no third-hand citizen. They were to be equal. Okay, but there were certain things they were not allowed to do. Go to Numbers chapter 15. Did the priest have to make sacrifice for unwitting sin among the homeborn and for the stranger? Go to Numbers chapter 15. Get verses 22 through 29. Numbers 15, verses 22 through 29. And when you shall err and do not observe all these commandments, which Yah has spoken unto Moses, even all that Yah has commanded you by Moses from the day that Yah gave commandment and onward throughout your generation, then it shall be, if it be done unwittingly, without knowledge of the congregation. If it's done, you know, the congregation, and this is what we have to understand about sin in the church. If the church is doing something that it's not supposed to do, if the pastor or the priest is doing something that they're not supposed to do, if the individual. So in this case, he's talking about... And when you shall err and not observe all these commandments which Yah has spoken unto Moses, even all that Yah has commanded by you by Moses from the day that Yah gave commandment and onward through your generation, then it shall be, if it be done unwittingly without the knowledge of the congregation. So this is addressing the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one bullock for a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto Yah, with the meal offering thereof and drink offering thereof according to the ordinance. One he goat for a sin offer, and the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel. Now, it's not about these sacrifices that I want you to pay attention to. And they shall be forgiven, for it was a error. And they have brought their oblation, an offering made by fire unto Yah, and their sin offering before Yah for this error. In this case, the congregation has to repent of that sin in today's terms, okay? Because it's in error. And all the congregation of the children of Israel shall be forgiven, and the stranger that sojourns among them. For in respect of all people, it was done unwittingly or in error, okay? And if one person sinned unwittingly, now we're going to go down to the individual, he goes a year old for a sin offering. This unwittingly means unknowingly. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that errs when he sinneth unwittingly before Yah to make an atonement for him. And he shall be forgiven. You shall have one law for him that does aught unwittingly, for him that is homeborn among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourns among them. So if it was a stranger or whether it was a Hebrew, if they did something unwittingly, then, or in ignorance, then an atonement could be made. Okay? Let's see if the penalty was the same for the stranger as for the homeborn. Numbers chapter 15, and let's get verse 30. But the soul that does aught with a high hand, whether he be homeborn or sojourn, the same blasphemes Yah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. So the soul that does so with a high hand, that presumptuously, that's willfully. They know what they're doing. whether he is homeborn or a stranger, the same blasphemes Yah, and his soul shall be cut off from among his people. This doesn't change in the New Testament. The wording is just a little bit different. So you can have the congregation doing something they're not supposed to do, like worshiping on Sunday. And then you can have the individual doing something they are doing in error, such as worshiping on Sunday. Just as an example. Then they can repent of it. The whole congregation can do it, and as a congregation that we're now going to keep Sabbath because we've been in error, and it will be forgiven them. And if it's I'm using the Sabbath as an example. And if it's an individual, then they can repent. I didn't know I was supposed to keep Sabbath. Now I know. I'm going to repent of it and keep it. Okay. And the Most High will forgive them. Now when they hear these things, if they don't do it, then now they're putting heaping coals on top of their head. Because once they hear it and they know that they're supposed to do it, then now they're accountable. They no longer say that they are in error. They're choosing. They themselves are choosing to be disobedient. They're choosing to stay in the traditions of men. Pray we can understand that. Okay. Where are we at on the time? 6:07. So let's look at, we're looking at this covenant of circumcision. And we're going to go back and look at with everybody that came out of Egypt, were they circumcised? Go to Joshua, the book of Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. The book of Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites that were by the sea, heard how that Yah had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So they became faint in their resolve to want to do battle with Israel. Okay, when they heard about what Yah did at the Jordan. Wait a minute, he stopped the Jordan River, he dried it up so they can cross over. We don't need to be messing with these people. At that time, Yah said unto Joshua, make thee knives of flint and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Now, when they came out of Egypt, were they circumcised? He said, circumcise them again the second time. And Joshua made him knives of flint and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did this. All the people that came forth out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way. And they came after they came forth out of Egypt. So remember when the Most High was telling them to go over into the promised land, and they sent the spies in, and the spies came back, 10 of them came back with an evil report. And then the people rebelled against Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. And so the Most High said that everybody 20 years old and older, they were going to die in the wilderness. Okay. But when the new children that were being born in the wilderness, they weren't being circumcised. So now they're getting ready to come over. So in the past 40 years, nobody's been circumcised. So they kept the Passover the first year and the second year, but then they got a 40-year sentence. 40 years, they didn't keep the Passover. And they didn't follow the law of Moses concerning circumcision. So they couldn't keep the Passover. for 40 years the children of Israel walked in the wilderness, and they did not keep the Passover. Verse 3, and Joshua made him knives of flint and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of foreskins. And for this cause, why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came forth out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness. By the way, after they came forth out of Egypt, for all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not circumcised. Now, so these are homeborn. Yeah. Had to, if they died in if they died while Israel was in the wilderness and they were homeborn, they lost their inheritance. Those men that were circumcised coming out of Egypt under the Abrahamic covenant, their bloodline lost their men, their blood, I won't say their bloodline, children that were less than 20 years old, then they were circumcised and they would enter in to the promised land, and their children would inherit the land. Now, these new generations, all those that were born while they were in the wilderness in this 40-year walk, they didn't have an inheritance to the Abrahamic covenant yet. They could not keep the Passover yet. Everybody that came out of Egypt was circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till the nation, even the men of war that came forth out of Egypt, were consumed, because they hearkened not unto the voice of Yah, and unto him and whom Yah sware that he would not let them see the land which Yah sware unto their fathers. So the Most High said, under the Abrahamic covenant, they were supposed to have an inheritance in the land, but they walked in disbelief of Yah, and they lost their inheritance. But their children still got their inheritance. So you and I, if we were 40 years old or older, when this happened, we died in the wilderness. We didn't get to enter into the promised land. And then if we were less than 20 years old, we were already circumcised. But if we were born after we came out of Egypt, we weren't circumcised. We had no inheritance and no claim to the land. So Joshua had to stop and circumcise everybody a second time. Okay, and then they were supposed to keep up with it afterwards. But before they could enter into the promised land and take it as a possession, because this is what the Abrahamic covenant was about, was inheritance of the land. We read that earlier, and now we see the Most High enforcing that, saying, okay, Joshua, these people got to be recircumcised, because that covenant between me and Abraham and his seed, in order to inherit the land, not salvation, but the land. Okay. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, for the nation, even the men of war that came forth out of Egypt, were consumed, because they hearkened not unto the voice of Yah, unto whom Yah sware that he would not let them see the land which Yah sware unto their fathers, that he would give a land flowing with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them did Joshua circumcise, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the nation, that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. So coming out of Egypt, everybody was circumcised, all the males. And this would include the strangers that came with them, the Egyptians that came out with them. They would have been circumcised. Okay? But we know that in order to keep the Passover, you have to be circumcised. And so we know that 40 years they didn't keep it. 40 years they didn't circumcise children of Israel. Let's look at being circumcised in heart is a new thing. In the new, you know, is it only applied to New Testament saints? Of the heart, a new concept introduced in the New Testament. There's a lot of, you know, modern day Christians believe that, you know, this is something new. This wasn't required before. It wasn't that it wasn't required, just that Israel never really gave the Most High their heart. They didn't worship him through faith. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. So this is not, you know, the Most High changing in the New Testament or anything. This is what the way he desired Israel to be from the beginning, that they circumcise the foreskin of their heart and to shed off their iniquities and stop sinning. Go to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 4. Circumcise yourselves, Siah, and take away the foreskin of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn so that none can quench it because of the evil of your doing. Stop doing evil. You know, that's to the circumcision of the heart is to stop doing evil. It's to stop sinning. Stop transgressing. Have the willpower to not sin. Not to say, hey, we ain't up under the law. Because, you know, that's what they're going to teach them. That's what a lot of the churches teach, that, you know, you're not up under the law in the Messiah. No, in the Messiah, you're supposed to also circumcise the foreskin of your heart and not do evil, not do sin, not transgress. Okay? So the Most High wanted Israel to be circumcised in heart and in flesh. And the sojourners that were among Israel, if they wanted to come close, then they also had to be circumcised in their heart and in their flesh. But that's to join Israel. Salvation in Messiah is different as far as circumcision goes. Circumcision of the flesh. Still got to have the circumcision of the heart. So let's see who are Abraham's seed to the promise. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We're going to get verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 1 in that one. Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 1. In the word of the Most High read, I say truth, the truth in Mashiach. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Mashiach for my brethren, for my Hebrew brothers and sisters, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of Elohim and the promises, who are the fathers of whom asked concerning the flesh, Mashiach came, who is over all, Elohim blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of Elohim has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Okay, just because you say you're Hebrew Israelite, don't mean, and of the flesh, don't mean that you're of Israel. What is the Most High looking? Neither, because they are of the seed of Abraham, that's by the flesh, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, the Most High had you know, seed by Ishmael. You know, Abraham had seed by Ishmael and by Isaac. He said, but the promise is going to come through Isaac. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of Elohim. So because, you know, this is where a lot of our Hebrew brothers and sisters need to understand that being Israel of the flesh doesn't necessarily mean that you're a child of Elohim. Most High is looking for something else. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they the children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, that they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, who are the children of the promise? For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now, I want to stop here for a minute, because, you know, we talk about Jacob, and we talk about Esau. And people are looking for a physical Jacob and a physical Esau as far as, you know, who are these people. But really what the Most High is talking about here, we're going to see these are those who want the kingdom and those that don't cherish the kingdom. So before the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Elohim according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So he called everybody, he says that everybody that's going to do good, they are going to be the promised seed. Everyone that won't do good, they will not be the promised seed. Okay? Even though they're coming out of the same place. They got the spirit of one or other of these brothers. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. But before they came out of the womb, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Is Elohim unrighteous because he hated Esau in the womb before he did bad or good? Elohim forbid. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, it's not of your will, nor of him that runneth, not how you run the race. You got to do, you know, that's why it's not of work, but of Elohim that shows mercy. You could be doing everything you're supposed to do. And Elohim says, I don't want you. You of the seed of Esau. You looking like you're doing good. You're running and you're doing what you're doing. And you're doing what to say, but your heart is far from me. Okay. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh. Now, if you go back into this and you look at Pharaoh. Okay, Pharaoh wanted to let the people go. The Most High said, no, I'm going to harden his heart. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. so that I don't have mercy on him. Okay. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will not, and whom he hardens. You might want to do good. The Most High might say, I don't want you. And I'm going to harden your heart. That's why we're not to really judge. But if somebody claims to, you know, be a brother or a sister and they're doing the things they're not supposed to do, we judge so that that leavening won't go through, won't leaven the whole bunch. But, you know, some people may not get this. Not because they don't want it, but the Most High hasn't chosen them. I pray we can get this again. Let's read this again so we know this. Verse 15 again. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills, not about your willpower, nor of him that runs, that's running the race, your works, but of Elohim that shows mercy. Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, Pharaoh, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. You might be wondering why they can't get it, why they won't convert. The Most High may have hardened their heart. And if he hardens their heart, ain't nothing you're going to do to be able to unharden. It is his will. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? If he's the one hardening people's hearts, if he's the one passing judgment and saying, I don't want this one, I want this one, I don't want that one, if he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, why does he yet still find fault? How is he going to blame you for who has resisted his will? If Most High wants you to come into salvation, you're going to come into salvation. If the Most High don't want you to come into salvation, you won't come into salvation. Because nobody has ever resisted his will. If this is his will for you, that's what's going to happen. If it's not his will for you, it won't happen. Then why does he yet find fault then? If he wills, if it's his will that you're not going to enter in, he's not going to have mercy on you. No matter how you run in the race, no matter what you want, how then does he say, you know, how does he find fault with me then? He took my will away. He hardened my heart. How he going to find fault with me? That was the question. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replieth against Elohim? Who are you to question Elohim? Because people question the sovereignty, and they don't understand the sovereignty of the Most High. What he wants he's going to have. Who he wants who he's going to have. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me this way or thus this way? Power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor. Remember, it's not what you will. It's not how you even run the race. What does Elohim want? You might be a vessel of honor, or you might be a vessel of dishonor at the will of Elohim. And if he makes you a vessel of dishonor, he still judges you, and you receive the judgment that a dishonorable vessel receives. A lot of people can't accept that. You know, anybody can be saved. Everybody can be saved. Not if the Most High don't want it. It's not his will. Tear down a lot of these strongholds. What if Elohim, verse 22, what if Elohim, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? What if he wanted to show his power and his wrath? Let's read that again. What if Elohim, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath? You know how we got all these people walking in sin. The Most High, it may be his will. I made that one a vessel of dishonor, and they're running the race. And they have the will to do it. But he said, I don't know you. Or I know you, but I made you a vessel of dishonor to bring about my will. I'm still going to judge you according with all the vessels of dishonor. Get it to destruction. Can we hear this and can we receive it? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had aforetime prepared unto glory. I made you a vessel of honor. I made you a vessel that's going to receive mercy because it was my will that you should be a vessel of honor and a vessel of mercy. Not by your will, nor by your righteousness. Even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. It's Elohim that's going to decide this, okay? But of the Gentiles. Okay, so Jews and Gentiles. Go to Galatians chapter 3. And we will stop here on tonight. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of Elohim by faith in Mashiach. For as many of you as have been baptized into Mashiach have put on Mashiach. Neither is there Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Yeshua HaMashiach. For if you be Christ, if you truly belong to him, remember he said, and I want to stop here to reiterate this. There are two bodies of believers in Messiah. Those that go in by the straight gate and those that go in by the broad gate. If you go into the broad gate and don't find the straight gate, then you will be considered one of those that receives no mercy. Okay. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The seed that he was talking about was Mashiach. Seed that the promise was to come through. And that seed is based upon the faith, true faith in Messiah and doing what he said to do. How say you love me and do not what I say to do? And I tell you to keep the commandments of the Most High. Not say that you don't have to keep them. So many who are called, few are chosen of those many. Many are called into the body of Messiah, and few are chosen out of that body to proceed on to everlasting life in Mashiach. And the Most High has to choose. That's why I said it says many are called. Who's doing the calling? But few are chosen. Who's doing the choosing? By my will. The Most High is choosing. He says, and it's not by power or by might, but by my will, saith Yah. Okay, so we'll stop here on today. We will pick this up on next week. Being circumcised in heart and in spirit. What does that mean? Who does it apply to? And what is the word of Elohim really saying to us? You may be a vessel of dishonor, or you may be a vessel of honor. Either way it goes, you won't resist his will. And he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Why is he going to throw me in the lake? I was running a race. I was doing what I was told. Because he's Elohim. And he will do what he will. We got to understand that. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Are there any questions on what we covered tonight? No questions? Okay.
No, sir.
All right, amen. Then may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again. I love you. I really do, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Pray to Yah that you are chosen, that you are a vessel of righteousness, a vessel of honor, because we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Pray that he have mercy. See you guys on Thursday for the business meeting. Peace and blessings. Before we go.
Spirit God, send your spirit God. come to us, we come alive.
Spirit.
Let's go quickly to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. Quickly there. I told you guys I would show you about the Gentiles who sat sojourn amongst Israel. Shall divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you. And to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. And they shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in the tribe that the stranger sojourneth, there shall you give him his inheritance, saith Yah Elohim. All right. So I just want to keep my word to you on that. Those are the scriptures that say that the sojourner that has children amongst the children of Israel, when Israel takes the land, that those same sojourners, their children will have what? An inheritance in the land, in whatever tribe they dwell in. May Yah bless you and keep you. Shalom, saints.
Shalom.
And the credit.
Kingdom will reign forever. Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, my sister, brothers.
Shalom, family. Bless.
Shalom.
Shalom.